We now call to order the Guam Regional Transit Authority Board of Directors meeting. It is now 4:33 p.m. Roll call.
Gerard Cruz, Vice Chair.
Penny Gates, Board Secretary.
Rick Augustin, Executive Manager, GRTA.
Myra Abaya, AO.
Dan Gumatato, Member.
Andrew Tedinko, Member.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Now we'll ask for the approval of minutes. June 22nd, 2015.
That's the one that I think was left hanging after the previous secretary left. Mm-hmm. And we are all trying to get the verbiage that was left behind, and everybody contributed to it.
I move to accept the June 2015 minutes.
Move to accept.
Second.
Second by Andrew. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? None. Okay. The approval for March 21st?
Why don't we go all at one time? I move to approve the entire listening for March 21st, April 18th, May 16th. And May 20.
Well, the May 16 and 20, we haven't got the final.
So why the
May 16?
The May 16, I did send the final. The May 20, I just sent out to Ginger to finalize because she sent me a copy to edit.
Yeah, all I received was the May 20. I didn't get the 16.
May 16?
Yeah, I didn't get the beginning.
I'll send it again.
Okay, so. Do you want to amend your motion, Mayor?
Amend it to whatever's available.
Okay. So the motion would be to approve the minutes of March 21st and April 18th?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Anybody second?
No, I'll second. I'm sorry.
Okay, motion by Mayor Gumatato, second by Andrew. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? None? The May 16 and the May 20th, we will table.
That's it.
Motion to table?
I'm sorry. I move to table it.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? None. Those two meeting minutes will be tabled.
We will have this ready this week for review, and then we'll discuss it for July. What's the next meeting?
July 26th.
Tuesday?
Yes. That's a
Tuesday. Yes, it's a Tuesday because Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Myra and I have to go to a procurement course.
At the CC.
Okay. Okay. So we're done with the minutes. We'll go ahead and move along to the executive manager's report.
Okay.
Mr. Augustine.
I wanted again to reemphasize the fact that we've been doing a lot with very short staff. We're down to 60% of our human resource assignment. We don't have a lawyer. We don't have a chief planner. We did about an hour ago got names of four people that we were going to interview shortly. We have not filled the vacancy that was left by the transportation supervisor. He left last July. And we haven't filled the position for planner two, which Patrick Durgin left back in March. The critical position, of course, that we need is the chief planner and transportation supervisor. Okay. Just let me list their accomplishments so that everybody knows that even though we're short staff, we're still moving as fast as we can to do everything that is mandated of us. We relocated the bus terminal from Paseo to Agatnya Swimming Pool. That's our result of FESPAC. There was no help from anybody. This was a self-help program. We moved there. We put in the bus shelters. We put in trash can. And now we're on the verge of awarding a bus maintenance, ground maintenance for our bus shelters. Because your counterpart, got the mayor, It's not being very helpful keeping the place clean. Okay. And I'll tell you a little bit later on that. We have the ADA bathroom compliance. That was one of the longest issue that we tried to deal with. We spent $14,000 just to get that done. The drug and alcohol audit and compliance, we went through that and we accomplished that in a timely manner. At 2 weeks from today, we would have the last 17 passenger bus arriving in Guam. We already got 4. So that would be a total of 11 RBOC, 17 passenger bus. We just recently purchased the vans right here. We have not yet paid the vendor, but we're working through the system. Another MV1. Okay. We purchased, we're about ready to get a service van to replace the one that we got out here because it's over 5 years old. The website upgrade that has been awarded. I spoke to the contractor and he's going to get started soon with the guidance of Guam Webs. They were the one to design the website for the University of Guam. We renovated 7 bus shelters and we're in the process of coming up with another the renovation of the rest of the bus shelters that we have. I think it's about 6 bus shelters that we need to renovate. Despite all the work that Myra has done in the past, he finally got recognized as the Supervisor of the Year for MacPro. That's a very big accomplishment. Our own Myra. And we also shorted from last year's budget process. We were shorted by $1.5 million. But we're still functioning. And we're making cuts wherever we can. We're not one of those agencies that go to the governor and ask for overtime from the tourist attraction fund. We just bite the bullet and keep on trucking. And so far, we spend a lot of comp time to the employees. But I can tell you this. I can get my staff to search up for a lot of work for a very short time. But eventually, it comes back to us and bites us in the butt royally because now you get stress, poor performance, lack of productivity. So we don't want to go there. Okay. So I'm going to make some changes internally to make sure that we take care of the staff. Pending procurement, we got the MSB. That's the biggie. For over 12 years now, we have a month-to-month bus service contract. We just met with GSA, and we're going to get some clarification with the vendor. And then after that, there's probably one more step. And the reason why we're going through this is that it is a sole bidder. And whenever you have a sole bidder, FDA, the Federalists, want to make sure that we do our due diligence. Because if we don't, it's going to impact our ability to get additional funding. Okay. The one call, one click, building renovation. I stated before that we're going to renovate this area. Myra beat me up and twisted my arm. We're actually going to renovate the area out here, the one that Carl used to have, and the employee lunch area. We're going to convert that instead because she says that if we're going to convert this and now we're going to find another meeting place and have to rent a meeting place, then it's going to cost us more. Okay. The tram station management system, that procurement has already gone forward. We've been getting feedback from potential vendors. Mayor, that's what I have for the executive manager's session. I would like to recommend that We go through some of these items, but I would like to recognize the fact that I invited a marketing firm to give us an idea how to market the service of GRTA. This is not, they fully understand that if they're going to participate in any marketing endeavor, that they would compete with other companies. They just want to be given a chance to do their marketing presentation today. I would like to go to the old business, if you don't mind them, we'll get with them so they can leave and we can continue, if that's okay with you.
Yes, thank you.
On old business, we had on item A, activate and fund and approve the transit business plan, which the transit business plan has been approved by the board, but trying to find the funding. That's part of the D, which we're trying to hire a contract specialist to help us move forward with that. However, that MOA that we approved to send forward to the AG, I understand that the deputy AG was reviewing it and call you to explain his predicament with that. The idea is for him to discuss with you and then he'll move it forward to the AG herself. Mm-hmm. The statewide interim use of the MV1 van. About 6 months ago, Myra and I had to brief the governor and the key staff as to what we wanted to do in the interim for the 11 vans that we have. And back then, the idea was for Department of Labor, Guam Department of Labor, VA, and DSIT, and us to come up with an MOA to be able to use this equipment without contracting it out. Because we just don't have the money to contract it out. Over the many months they've worked the MOA, when we finally got it, I made it available to the board. And I don't think at least one person from the board is not too happy with the fact that those equipment may end up being used by other government agencies while we're waiting for the MSB to be awarded. And Director Porter, who's absent today, opposes the MOA between us, or amongst us, DSIT, VA, DRTA, and Department of Labor. I have not gotten any feedback from the other board of directors. I can tell you this, that I'm asking the board to be a little bit more patient, and I would say between 45 and 60 days, we should have the MSB, our intent is to have the MSB award the long-term contract. We're not there yet, but that's the time frame that we're shooting for. If we went ahead and got the MOA approved by the board and we share some of this equipment with DSIT, VA, and Department of Labor, it's not going to be out there. By the time they get it, they started using it, then we pull it back. So I don't think that's going to benefit them at all. It'd be nice if we had done this 3 months ago, but it's, you know, we're down to the wire as far as getting the MSB done. Okay. Item C, new board member nomination. The two board member nominations that went forward was for Ms. Evelyn Duenas, and the other one was the person from University of Guam, Macapinlock, Jonas Macapinlock. As the executive manager, the only thing I can do at my level is to send the nomination forward. So we all know, whoever sits in the front office, whatever party you are, you decide who your board members are, not Rick Augustine. We only send the packet forward. Those positions have not yet been filled. The one for Jason Cruz has not been filled. The seventh board member position has not been filled since GRTA was approved back in March 2009. My input to that is we should get a board member that's a veteran, because we have a lot of veterans in Guam. We also have a lot of disabled veterans. And I think their voices need to be heard. I'm a veteran, and I get beaten up by my brother veterans whenever they ask me, how come I'm getting poor service or no service at all? So my recommendation for the 7th board member would be somebody from the veteran community.
Okay, we're only lacking two, and are they going to, what are they going to do with the two names we already gave in?
I'm going to wait for the front office to decide when to move.
Okay, no, because I did talk to Mike Perez about that, and he said he was going to look into it,
right.
And I just didn't get a response yet.
Right.
I will follow up on it, but he did mention, though, that there was a veteran that... No, but where's his packet at? Who's the veteran?
I haven't seen any packet from any veteran.
All, it's
I'm, all I'm saying is that's who I would support to fill the 7th position. The packet itself has not been submitted to us.
It was recommended by the front office for Guevara to be on the board, so they haven't given us a packet.
Maybe they should ask him to push forward.
Okay. Right. The one for Jason, of course, is a position that has to be filled by
a writer.
A writer. Is it a person with disability or just a writer?
A writer.
Okay.
Be from the Fitzwater.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what does the board recommend as far as informing the front office that we really need to fill the position, because it's my understanding that. Director Gumatauto is not running for office next year, so he's not going to be able to fill the position as coming from the mayor's council.
Now, we do already have another mayor who would like to sit in. So that, but we'll do the assignments in January. Of who the new mayors will be.
So that's coming from the mayor's council, not necessarily right. It has to be approved by the governor.
No.
We did go to the governor for to be sworn in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you guys appoint.
Yes.
This is the mayor's council. Yes. MCO.
They ask for names and then we.
And that can't happen anyway because election's coming up,
right?
So then you'll figure it out.
That's what we have for old business. So before we go to Myra's report, I would like to ask Guamzilla is the name of the company that's going to be doing a presentation.
Afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having us. My name is Asher Goldenberg. And with Dan, we're the founders of Guamzilla, which is what we hope to be Guam's newest and most exciting branding mascot for ecotourism, specifically ecotourism. And in that regard, I think that we may have something in common, being that you are, you know, buses, and we like environmentally friendly things, and buses are that. This is my partner, Dan Mormon.
How are you guys doing today? I just passed you out a little bit of information on Guamzilla. Basically, we're billing Guamzilla as the destination brand for ecotourism.
Real quick, tomorrow, to make this more friendly to visually impaired people in our audience and workplace.
Okay.
Sorry?
Visually impaired.
Oh, visually impaired.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. Anyway, we're excited about Guamzilla. We want to use Guamzilla as an educational tool. We want to be able to teach some of the core values that are already on this island. We want it to spread a little more. We want to reinforce what the people of Guam already have. We want to touch basically every tourist that comes to Guam. With the design, obviously, we've made this cute little character, cute little dinosaur character that's relatable. The tourist or the islander, basically anybody can look at this thing and make an emotional connection. I want it to be like McGruff the crime dog, Woodsy the owl, Smokey the bear, sort of rolled into one for the island. We just don't have that out here. Really, if you look at every prefecture and city in Japan, they've got mascots. They've got all sorts of different things that represent different parts of their culture. And on Guam, there's things that represent Guam as an island, but nothing that you can have that emotional connection with. You don't make an emotional connection with a Lottie stone generally. You know what I mean? It's not something that the tourists are going to look at and make a connection with. So we created Guamzilla to sort of bring that. Obviously, we want to use it as a marketing tool. We can use it as a marketing tool for you guys as well. But Asher's come up with an amazing plan to help GRTA that would be mutually beneficial for us. And if you just give us a few minutes of your time.
Right. Let me interject real quick. And the reason why I invited the gentleman from Guamzilla to make a presentation is that part and parcel of their goal is the environment. And we need to start teaching the people of Guam that riding the bus is actually helping out with the environment, because there's less cars out there in the road, less pollution. And then we're teaching our youngsters that, hey, you know, we're trying to fix the bus system. We'd like for you to use it in the future. The current market sector of Guam that we cater to are people that are looking for work, people that cannot afford a car, people that are too old to drive. But we also need to start marketing our buses to students, people that just want to ride the bus to save money and help with the environment. So go ahead, please.
Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our partner, Doug. He is our technical wizard. He can kind of do anything with electronics, including cooking toast. Don't hold me to that, but I think he can. So, as Dan was telling everybody, that Guamzilla has a very specific message that we want to reach everybody with. This message is basically ecotourism. We want to be the branding eco symbol for Guam. And with that, as previously mentioned, we also believe we have a connection with GRTA. So, with that, we are in a newer age, a faster age. Everything exists in 10-second increments. And so, with that, we need a kind of a new image. And we think we can help you with that, because we have to do that very thing for ourselves. In order to get people to buy into Guamzilla, in order for them to believe that Guamzilla is anything worth looking into, buying, embracing whatsoever, we have to tell them the story. So, while we're doing that, I think that we can do that with you. What we cooked up was I'm going to go through the general proposal that I would like to submit with everyone's approval, and that covers basically six major phases, if you will. The first phase is going to be evaluation, and I'll get into all these in a little bit more detail in 1 second. I'm kind of going to go a little bit fast because I don't want to bore everybody today, but I also would like to cover the spectrum that we would be able to perform for you.
Plus, also, you can send us by email
You know what? We had this presentation. We even got this fancy new projector because our other one broke, and I don't think we're going to be able to set that up.
No,
so
no.
I apologize for the lack of visuals.
Okay.
Okay. Phase one, evaluation. Phase two, concept development, and that's where we work very closely with everyone here to bring to fruition what you vision GRTA to be. Design, that's pretty basic. We'll come up with some very pretty things. As a matter of fact, Dan and Doug, if you wouldn't mind, just passing these around. These are very basic, very first-level concepts for stuff that we just dreamed up, stuff that we thought would be neat in conjunction with Guamzilla. If you hate it, we will not use it. If you love it, we can build on it, whatever you want, very flexible. After design phase, we have our marketing campaign. We have engagement and follow-up after the marketing campaign, and we'll wrap everything up with a strategy outlook. We will determine whether or not what we want to do is working. But one thing I'd like to focus on, when we start this, GRTA will be our primary focus. It'll be our only focus, because really all of our eggs are in your basket. So we're not going to be doing this for anybody else. Our resources aren't going to be spread thin. Everything will be at your beck and call. So whatever you would like will be available for you. With brand evaluation, the basics are going to start off with a market survey. We're going to ask people in the malls, on the buses, and everywhere else that we can think of to reach your potential customers a series of questions to determine what they think and how they feel about GRTA. Because something I'd like to drive home, a brand is not a symbol. A brand is not a logo. A brand is your gut feeling about a certain thing. Everyone's knee-jerk reaction about GRTA is your brand right now. So we want to evaluate that. We need to understand exactly where they are in order to get from here to there. So survey interpretation, we'll just look at the data and we'll try to decipher it, and then we'll give you a presentation. We'll analyze it and then we'll just present to you what we find, and you can give us your input from there. Something else that I think is going to be vitally important that I don't think anybody else is going to do is canvassing your business model. Essentially what that means is taking how you guys do business and dividing up into little sections so we can itemize it and understand it at its base core. This is going to allow us to work with you how you work best and also allow us to recommend certain changes along the way. Maybe we don't need any, maybe we need some here or there, but we'll never know until we actually conduct a canvas. This canvas is going to look something like determining where your customer segments are. Where are you actually reaching your people? Your value proposition. This means in the heart of the people who use you, how valuable are you? What is your true value? Essentially, what do you bring to the table? Why do they like you? The channels with which you reach these people. Your customer relations, like when they call up and ask here, when they speak to you in person, they're your bus drivers even. How they interact with the people that pay us money to do work, that's going to be important. That goes into customer relations. Your revenue streams. How do you get money from your customer base into your bank so that you can go ahead and improve and give them a better quality product later on? Your key resources, who you use for partnerships, and how you distribute them. Your key activities, what do you do to actually improve? And finally, your cost structure. So that's kind of a lot, and I'm not going to go into it now, it'll take too long, but I want you to understand, this is what we're going to dissect and break down. And you will be involved in every step of the way.
Okay. Let me interject real quick. One of the things when I went to the CTAA convention is I really didn't attend the convention. I went to two training, one-day training, before I made it down to San Francisco Region 9. We just cannot market our services alone. We need somebody else that knows marketing. We all agreed that maybe we should hire a marketing manager. Maybe we should open it up to more competition as far as who will best market our product and how do we use our bus shelters and our buses, because now it'll be a mobile advertising platform. All of those are things that have been considered in the fact that we want to market our product. You'd be a great investment in marketing. The fact that we're now going to be infusing the bus services with new equipment, longer term contract, and perhaps revise our bus routes and stops to meet our customers' needs better than what we've been doing. I don't think we ever had any marketing strategy or anything that has to do with marketing of the last 7 years. So this is the time now to start really thinking about marketing what we have to the people as well. And that is why I asked Guamzilla to make a short presentation. And the idea here is that we need to move marketing up to the forefront so we can start getting people, those that have not ridden the bus for some reason, which now we will now have additional customer base to attract. Those that are already taking the buses, they're using it for necessity. What we're trying to get at is for people that want to use the buses as a convenience. Mm-hmm. Their car's in the shop, or they don't want to buy a car. You're a college student, and you're paying tuition and books and supplies, school supplies, and you just can't afford a car. People that have lived in the States for the longest time, they used to be riding the bus. Now they're just waiting for new buses, better service, and we need to reach them. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea of marketing.
Right, and just to piggyback on that, this whole thing, everything that we will do, will be designed to reach a wider, younger, I guess more hip
We're going to make demographic. Public transportation cool.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. We want to make it the right thing to do to take the bus. It's the inexpensive thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the cool thing to do. We have ideas for PSA campaigns. that I think will really work, and they've worked. We've looked at what other cities have done to revamp and revitalize their public transportation. We know it works, so we really want to bring it to Guam.
I can say for a fact that our recovery rate in the transportation, in the transit business, is how much did you earn for bus fares versus how much did you spend to provide this service. Our recovery rate in Guam is 2%. Some places are up to 31% recovery rate. I would say that the average is about 15 nationwide. We need to attract more riders so we can have more revenues from bus fares, so we can improve transit technology, provide more and better bus shelters, bus signage. We just can't do that by waiting for the budget process in Guam to help us get additional revenue. We have to help ourselves, and by marketing and getting different clientele to use the buses, then we could probably make more money.
There's a problem on this. We got a lot of used cars out there sitting here for 2 cents. And how are you going to compete with that? They don't want to ride in a bus anymore. No. They're riding around.
The idea is we're going to tell them and enforce in them not only the fact that we're reducing congestion, but we're saving the environment. And did you know that the average person, and I did some research on this, Mayor Gomedalto, the average person with a brand new car making installment payment forks out $8,000 a year. That's for car payment, insurance, repairs, gas.
What I'm saying here is that they got so much money by the refund, tax refund. They're getting 5,000 freebies, and they're using that to buy a car. A car worth $10,000, they're buying at $3,000. You know why? Because there are too many used cars in the island. Yeah.
And
that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
At a house, I have only 4 drivers. I got 7 cars.
You need to give any away.
All my neighbors are the same thing.
You're part of the problem there.
So the problem is the poor guy is going to lose out on his business.
No.
He's not going to get drunk.
We're going to convince them it's cool. We're going to teach them that it's the better thing, that it's the more fun thing to do, it's more convenient, and it's simply better on the bus. That's what we're going to come and
Oh, you meet friends in the bus, in the car, you don't meet anybody but yourself.
Let's meet a party.
You can't read your email on them. When you're driving your car.
Is the risk you're going to make.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
They're fully aware of that.
Yeah.
And that's their job.
It's their loss anyway. If they know something. I don't want them to. I've been opening all kinds of business. I've been successful. But the point, I don't want you to lose out on that business.
That's fine. Does anybody else have any questions?
I think.
That's a good idea.
Again, hiring a regular employee to do marketing versus, it could weigh out that this is what we never had this before. And we need to take transit to a new level. We do have to move in and experience that service, that even though they're better than us, like, they always compare us to Hawaii. Having that service to get on every 15 to 18 minutes is great. And having the image, because the image we got now, we're still trying to improve that. It's something that we should probably look into and discuss.
If I may say something, in the past during GMTA time, a couple of years back, we did have a marketing manager. Okay, so we put out an RFP. And some bidders submitted their offers, their bid, and we ended up selecting this one company, and they did the marketing strategy for GRTA. So at that time, of course, our resources are limited, our buses are not really that new, but we were able to sell some advertising spaces. Mm-hmm. Inside and outside the buses, and even in our bus shelters.
Since the asset belongs to us, now we can put ads. We cannot reasonably ask a vendor with their own equipment to put our own ads there.
May I kind of take this to a different level? So we actually had a bunch of great images that I cannot show you. I will forward them because I really want you to see them. But something that we're going to do, which I think is going to be very, very exciting, is we're going to be able to bring, at a very, very cost-effective measure, real-time tracking and visual tracking of all of your vehicles, meaning someone here with a big screen can see where every single bus is, where real-time as it goes around to the very moment. A user, a bus passenger, can download an app on their phone, and they can see the same thing.
You can make this part of a link that we're trying to work on.
Oh, yeah. You can see it on the website. And we're going to be building monoliths and advertising at your bus stops, just like you said, that will show that very same image. So if you don't have the app and you're just sitting there at the bus stop and you want to know, why are they 2 minutes late? Oh, I'm getting so mad. And then you look on the thing over there and you see, oh, it's just down the road. No big deal. The people are going to immediately alleviate their anger. The image of you is going to get better because they're not going to be left with that bad taste. It's just, oh, it's just right down the road. I can handle that. And without further ado, I stole some of Doug's thunder.
Oh, sorry.
Doug, please tell us how you will make it happen.
Right. So the reason why they brought me on board was because I'm an app developer. And I made it about really quick. I made an app that can be mounted on every bus, so any bus driver can use it. It'll have the camera sticking out here. It'll serve two purposes. One is to send a GPS to a main server so that everyone can see where all the buses are on a big screen. And two, to help make payment a lot easier. So this will be it can be on an iPad too, so it's a lot easier for bus drivers to use. And then here are just some prototype payment cards. If you want to just try it out and pass it around, you can tap the scan QR and then just point it at the QR code.
So this way we don't have to pay cash.
Oh yeah, that's right. Right. It can make it a lot easier.
People can purchase rides on the card itself.
They can purchase rides on their phones. They can purchase the cards. They can probably still pay by cash. You know, people still want to pay by cash, right?
Yes.
But also, it'll serve two purposes. One is for the payment, and the other one is for real-time tracking. So if someone's like, I'm getting ready for the bus, so the bus will be here in a few minutes, so they got to leave their house now. Oh. And also, on their phone, we're going to build a mapping system, so if you have to switch buses and you're here and you want to go there, it'll help you develop that route and how to switch buses and how to get there.
Yes. So that's why we're moving in this direction. Okay. And I would like to thank you guys for doing a quick presentation. All the work that you wanted to present that we didn't have the visuals to put out, we'll pass it on to the board members.
Thank you.
And strictly to the board members.
Very exciting.
They're the one
good
that's going to be looking
thank
at
you. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Thank you guys for coming.
I appreciate your time, everybody. This is, like I said, this new brand is something we're passionate about, and I think rebranding and revitalizing GRTA is something that we can do for sure.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Oh, those are demo payment cards. Yeah, they don't actually work.
I got a question.
I'm going to give that to the bus driver tonight. I got a much free pass.
Get the free rides.
Emming, right? That's going to work.
To make this.
Do you guys have where you can see all the buses, where they're at, all at one time? And then, we'll also develop with government compliance for, I think it's
ADA.
Yeah.
And this month is the ADA celebration, so.
Yeah.
Look into it.
All right.
We're going to have a lot of things this month.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a nice evening. Be safe.
Thank you.
We got a lot of DUI, out there.
Actually, the cops are all pulling everyone over down here.
Yeah, they're doing
okay. So, if we want to continue now, Mayor, we can continue with
budget report.
After that, I will fill in for Riley. Riley's mom is real sick. She's been in the hospital now for over a week, and. We bought flowers and sent it to her mom, but I would do the part where it says Riley. I would make that report.
Okay, go ahead, Myra.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm not going to talk much about page one. Yeah, this is going to be very brief. Okay, the first page talks about our, you know, the standard report that everyone knows already, that how much we were allocated for this fiscal year. Our overall total local budget is 3,663,958. But because of the 15% reserve that they call fiscal restraint, that was, they call that being put aside and by BBMR through the governor, that's what they said. Our budget was deducted or lessened by 549,000,
which is fair.
Which is more than half a million, and it really costs a lot. So this the total now minus the 15% went down to 3,114,364. Okay, so that's it for page one. Page two, I just want to let everybody know that this is our FY16 bus operation expenses from October to June. Okay, from October to June, we already spent 2,630,746. And we are projecting from July to September another $889,350,000. Okay, on page three is just the breakdown of our FDA federal grants. It's showing how much the balances for each grant, which is self-explanatory. So you can just go ahead and review it. I prepared the simplest report that everybody will understand and will have a very good idea as of now how much we have in our pot as of the moment. Mayor, this for you.
Oh, sorry.
And I know you might want to flip this, Gerard, later on.
I won't be able
to read it. You can be able to read it. You have a reader, right? That's
no, readable. I can't read
it. Oh, you don't have. Okay.
Okay, we would, Penny, would make this readable or as...
This is readable.
As director...
send it to me digitally, and I'll send it to Gerard.
Dinko, who has this ability to convert it and pass it on to director.
Okay. Okay, as of now, our available funding is 364,198, broken down as follows. The FY16 budget out of territorial highway funds, the remaining balance out of that is 230,000. And for FY16 budget for public transit funds was used to fund the MSB. So we did not use anything for bus operation from October to July because I used it to encumber the money to be used to fund the MSB. And the bus fares account, the balance right now is 44,174. And our FY14 FTA continuing grant, we have 90,024 balance as of today. For FY16 FTA continuing grant, the money that was budgeted for bus operation services was all used up to fund also the MSB. So the total overall funding that was encumbered for MSB is 850,000. What I can tell you right now is the 364,000 we have right now in our pot is good enough to cover for the month of August. But I worry for the month of September because this 164 will practically be used for the month of August. So for September, it's still up in the air. How are we going to fund the month of September?
Mara, on the bus fare, on the FDA 2014 continuing grant, where are you going to use that?
I'm planning to use it for the month of August bus operation services.
Okay. Because this is one of the things that is always brought to our attention by FTA Region 9 is that we're not spending the money fast enough. It is already 2016 and we still got money for 2014.
Exactly, but I requested for an extension of the expiration of the grant, so we were given up to 2017.
Okay.
So this is the only money left out of that FY14 FTA grant. So all of this breakdown, I showed it to you so that you will know that we only have 364,000 right now, and this is only good enough to cover the August bus operation services. Now, for the month of September, unless the MSB is awarded, we're not going to have any problem. But as of now, since still pending, so we have to look for funding in order for us to fund the September bus operation.
Okay,
that's the simplest breakdown of budget that I can show you and present it to you as of now. Okay, along with my budget, is there any question?
Do they allow us to go forward with the, if we don't spend this money? And
which one?
The
850?
14, yeah. No, 90,000.
Oh, no. That is already earmarked to be used for August operation services. Okay?
Thank you.
What's that? Okay. Anyway, what is that? Along with my budget report, I'd like to touch base on our ridership, which is next to your budget report. Okay. The breakdown of number of passengers for fixed route and paratransit are all indicated there. Okay.
The last month.
Okay. For the month of May, under fixed route, we had a total of 12,680 riders. Okay. For paratransit, we had 3,837 riders for the month of May. So total ridership all in all, a combination of fixed and para, was 16,517. Okay. Fixed route total hours for May was 1,940. Paratransit total hours, 2,307. Total number of days of operation, 25 days. Active paratransit riders as of May was 433 riders. Paratransit applicants that applied for the month of May was 6. Okay. Denied applicants out of the 6 were 2 applications that we feel that they can navigate and use the fixed route. So that's the simplest ridership report that is going to be presented for today.
The reason why we're presenting it this way is this is the kind of information or data that FTA requires from Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And if we don't give them the data, they have threatened that if you don't give us the data, you have not justified why we're giving you the grant. So it is very work intensive for Raleigh to get all of this together. That's why we've asked KEI to provide us the information, and then we put it in an Excel, and that this is how you're getting this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the information may not be useful, but it's easy to understand. But for the purpose of FTA and data, this is what we capture.
Okay. And I know we have another upcoming board meeting in July 26, so that's where I'm going to report the month of June operation. Okay. I think that's about it for me today. So
okay. Any questions for Mara?
Thank you, Mara.
Thank you.
Okay. There being none, move along to Raleigh's report.
Okay. Summarizing that I mentioned earlier. 2 weeks from today is when I was told that the 17 passenger bus will be arriving at the Port Authority, offloaded on a master vessel. The game plan is to have those seven buses accepted by DPW, and we put our wrap around it, our logo, the whole work. And when we finally make the award to the MSB, all of our brand new equipment would be utilized for transit. There was some pressure that maybe we should just give the current vendor our new asset. Well, I do have some issues with that, because one is, our lawyer needs to let us know what happened if the vehicle gets in an accident. Do we have a contract? Do we have insurance for this vehicle? If it's a maintenance issue that's not covered by the warranty, do we have a contract that states that way? How are we going to refuel this vehicle? The current contractor is using their own equipment, and they can buy their own gas from their own suppliers. How are we going to do that ourselves when GSA is the one that gives the card to the government agency to gas the vehicle? So all of this thing have to be worked out. We've been trying to get a long-term contract now for almost as long as I've been here.
Did you get any input from the lawyer so far?
We haven't had a lawyer for 18 months.
So we have to wait? No. Did we get something?
But here's the deal. So we're trying to move forward as fast as we can to award the MSB, but not at the point where now we do not do our due diligence and get the FTA Region 9 to say, you guys have done what you need to do, and if the price is right, let's move forward. We're trying to get to that point. Myra has just expressed that by September, we really need to start using the new equipment because funds are tied up to this. So I would venture to say, without going to more specific, that within 30 to 60 days, possibly 45 days, we would have the MSB awarded. That's the goal. And all of the equipment are here with our wrap, our logo, everything. In the future, when we finally get our money from FTA for FY17, we will go out and buy two more buses and two more vans. Part of that will become a backup for our daily basis. So we will not be relying on older equipment from the current vendor for the backup. When you have a backup, you want a backup that's fairly new. Okay. So I continue to hear from the staff, the board, some politicians, some friends, somebody from the public. Why don't you just give the vendor, the current vendor, your new equipment? Well, it's easy to say that. But getting to do it legally and cover ourselves legally as a board member and as an executive manager, it's not that easy. So I'm telling you that although I want to do this, unless I'm directed by the board members and put it in writing, I do not support giving that equipment.
Just find a way to make it legal.
Yeah.
Okay. You still need a lawyer.
That's right. Okay. They have a very good lawyer. I ran into them a few times. So that's where we're at with procurement. That would be Raleigh's presentation. We did meet with GSA to discuss the fact that we need certain things to be clarified. The procurement process in Guam allows us to do that with SOBIC. So we would put it in writing from the AG to GSA to the SOBIC. Once everything is clear, then we can negotiate the price curve. There are some cost savings according to the vendor if they combine, but right now we have a bid for paratransit and a bid for fixed route. If we can combine it, there are some duplication of effort that could be combined, and probably there'll be some cost savings. Okay, that's on.
Okay, new business.
Under new business, we're finished with marketing. We all heard from the Lifeline bus fare situation where we invited several people from the different human services. Mm-hmm. Basically, there was not a lot of pushback on the proposed bus fare increase, but I would like to have Director Porter to have us discuss this again when she's here. When is she coming back?
Before
the next meeting.
Tonight.
Okay. It's my understanding that there is funding within Department of Human Services for non-emergency medical transport under Medicare or Medicaid. Now, if there are monies for that purposes, let's say, for example, you're on dialysis, that's not considered emergency, but it is for medical transport. I'm trying to find out from public health who controls that money and how can they help us pay for bus fares for those people that cannot afford the new bus fare that we're proposing. So this issue about the Lifeline for bus fares is still open. For example, we have mental health that buys ticket in bulk, right? Mm-hmm. So there's also money from their grant that they can assist people to buy tickets. So if we do decide to increase the bus fare, not everybody can afford the increase. Mm-hmm. So those that cannot afford the increases, we're looking to the human services agency that have grant money to help them with that, to fork up those money to help people.
Did you hear about the ambulance scam?
That was several months ago.
That's our competition right there.
Okay.
Oh. Take patient, even if they're not sick.
We'll find money that way.
The ambulance driver is driving himself to the hospital.
Cash approval.
To charge the federal government.
That's still in the court case, so we cannot
discuss
that.
By the millions of dollars. Yeah. Bad, right?
Okay. Petty cash approval.
Petty cash.
How much money do we put in for petty cash?
We have not yet discussed it. What we're trying to, because this under new business, is we have money that we could have petty cash. For example, another board, other agencies that I've been to, this particular venue here, we could probably have $100 approved so we can have pizza and salad, hot dogs or popcorn or whatever. So we can spend that $100, or for example, this door out here. Just the day that the lieutenant governor's wife and the governor's wife, the lieutenant governor came here, our door got messed up. We cannot open
it. During purpolicious.
During purpolicious. So now what? We're gonna say don't come in because our door screwed up. Myra paid for that door to have it fixed by the locksmith. Now, if we have petty cash for those kind of purposes, then we don't have to go to this route where people make sacrifices from their own pocket.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If whatever it is that we want to do legally, it has to be approved by the board. So we just need to start thinking what things that you've seen done legally to be able to use petty cash. Now, how much do we want to allot every month? $100, $200?
Average is $300.
Those are the things that we want to discuss on the next board. That's why we made it a new business. Mm. How have you guys seen it?
No, well, where's the petty cash coming from?
From the bus fare.
Okay, and then because whether it be $1 or $300 or what have you, that all that money goes into the account, and then you know whatever expenditures you have,
we would have
you just do the reimbursement.
We would have a ledger, and we would have the board approve it prior to spending.
Right, but to have petty cash sitting around in the office. That's a no-no, period.
Yes. I think if it's just a small amount, maybe maximum 300, and then let's say we already used 200 out of it, then we need to replenish. Okay, we need to replenish to make it 300 again.
Let me ask this question. Petty cash, does it mean that you have to have cash somewhere, or we approve $300, for example, for the month of July? So now you write out a check, whatever it is.
Replace it there, what you spend.
And not actually have cash on hand.
It's the, you're checking. But I mean, because even like what your examples that you used for refreshments, for meetings, you know, that is allowed if the board approves it. Mm-hmm. But at that, you know, that's when you can just, you know, write a check for whatever you order.
Right, so we don't have to keep cash.
But it doesn't have to say, you don't have to put it like that, petty cash. It's just anything we're going to use it for. You know, it stays in the bank. It's a checking account. Right. It's how we use it and get approval for all expenditures.
Oh, you don't carry...
Not even a penny sits outside.
Yeah. That's even safer. That's why we don't want to...
It's just a checkbook. Sell...
And we do have a checkbook.
So you know,
we have checks already. So
check it out with OPA to give us a better.
So I think the general consensus is what is the allot we're gonna allow the amount. Yeah.
So what I would like to do is bring that up in the next meeting while we think about it.
Here or why right now?
It's just for
I've seen this thing happen. They take the petty cash, they went and play bingo, they lost.
As long as it's not an emergency,
it's not going to be that way, Mayor Gumatata, because it's going to be
no.
A check,
but okay, regarding those, you know, you see like how you're saying, okay, whatever that petty cash, just let me make a note. Like in other boards and councils I sit on, you know, like how we're talking about having refreshments. Okay? Mm. The only reason why that's allotted is if the meetings go over 2 to 3 hours. Right. That's the only thing. Okay. If it's an hour, no.
Okay. No. Here's
that's where. I'm just sharing that because, for example, there's sometimes when we went over, right, and we're kind of hungry or drink. That's when it's a lot. You know, it's allowable. I mean, that's just from observation attending meetings. But other than that, I mean, you know, we're looking at for the sake of buying an extension cord, for example.
Or for example, when we have our working session.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it, you know. And just as long as we're tracking it. So the mayor, the madam chair is saying, you know, right now we can vote on that tonight if there's a motion, if we agree to an amount and for the month.
Okay.
And also, if I may say something, even though we have petty cash, okay, we cannot just buy something that, we need that, we buy that. We still have to get 3 quotes unless the nature of the procurement is emergency, like what happened today.
We're going to get 3 quotes for a pizza?
Yeah.
No. When it comes to...
Well, we'll make it emergency.
No.
We'll make it emergency.
I'm talking about, let's say, okay, remember these light bulbs burned out, right? Mm-hmm. Ballast burned out, and it cost only 200 something, okay. Now, how many months already that I turned in the requisition to GSA? Up to this time, they haven't got the PO yet. So those are the things that, you know, like material supplies that we can support the reason why you know, we bought this, and we still stick to the procurement rules and regulations.
Yes, yes.
That we did make three calls.
Okay. Let's say what the procurement regulation is for petty cash, because if we're going to get three calls just to say we approved to buy pizza for next time around, well, we'll be starving here.
Yeah. I think
what my worry is,
those things
though,
are not like an emergency. Yeah.
The worry here is you might extend your time just to make sure you have something to eat.
No.
That's the problem.
No. Let's say for example
I was told about it.
Let's say for example that I'm sitting here. I'm diabetic and my sugar level is going wacko.
That's what I'm saying.
You need those kind of stuff. You need your electrolyte, you need your coffee for me to stay awake in this meeting from time to time. I talk too long. Those are the things that I was looking at. So if we agree that for $300, here are the things that we intend to use it for.
That's exactly, I think, see, like what Myra's talking about, that might be
small,
like...
Small purchases for
I
supplies and
I think that still requires,
materials.
Like... If you're talking about replacing a light bulb, you still have maintenance to come out here and do that. So that might be something else. But for the sake of like what Rick's talking about, that's exactly what I was mentioning earlier. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other boards and councils I sit on, and I'm pretty sure, Mayor, the reason why, and it's exactly that, because if you're sick, you're diabetic, you don't want to be responsible having 911 ALS coming over. Because I passed out.
Without food in the stomach.
Right. I mean... Again,
refreshment is like maybe out of the picture.
And but smaller things, small, like again, if it was the extension cord situation,
Or light bulbs, yeah. Like,
right?
Because I was sharing this.
So I think we can set that parameter in our motion, if we.
Yeah, it took us 5 months to
it's
buy
not a problem.
Cord.
That's you know, I learned it from the procurement trainings that I've been attending to.
Okay.
Yes, you can have petty cash. But you have to prove also that there was a competition. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, small purchases items, but maybe food, features.
So is this
pizza.
Something we still need to research then?
It's the same
purchase.
As non-appropriated funds.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that?
Yes, we do have that.
Yeah.
We have the Mayor's Council of Guam Revolving Fund. But money never sits. It's
check.
Well, every first Wednesday of the month, we have our monthly meetings. Mm-hmm. We take turns serving. Well, the district, so tomorrow Santa Rita will be serving. You know, we give them a check, you know, to here's the money, go prepare the food and bring it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think it's better that we follow the procurement at the same time, because once we get audited,
yes,
we are
always
safe.
Being audited, every single office,
safe.
Every fund.
That we did not circumvent. Okay. We did not circumvent the procurement rules.
I'm just talking to you about, you know, with our experience with the auditor.
But they want
and all that is just to make sure.
This?
Yeah, make sure that it's in the minutes that you approve it, your expenditures.
Yeah. You know what they audit?
So that's why I'm saying, since if we brought it up right now and spent
don't
time
government.
With it, let's clear it.
They auditing.
Okay. Motion.
Make your motion.
That's crazy.
Motion.
I told Brooks
there any parameters?
No, you can't. Audit the one is appropriate. Brooks the government, not our own money.
What are we talking about, though? What's our discussion on the amount? Before we make a motion.
Not to exceed $200 for...
$200? For now.
Yeah.
$200?
And always.
Okay. So I make a motion for GRTA to...
Make it $300.
To provide petty cash. So are we saying 200 or 300?
300, and I'll approve.
Okay. So the motion is to have GRTA set aside a petty cash fund of $300 per month.
I second. And the reason for that, $300,
month, right?
Price goes up by the time you get up
to
the market.
Not to exceed, yeah.
Price went up already. You go in there to buy something worth $2, by the time you get up there, it's already $3, the price. You find that all over the world right now.
Okay. Well, and he second. It was moved by Andrew, second by Mayor Gumatauto.
No discussion.
Any discussion?
Already done.
Anything else? No, but $300.
Not to exceed three.
So, no, but solely for, is this for refreshments or anything?
Petty
I mean,
cash.
Because they can, no, but there's no petty cash.
As the board desires.
It's out of the account.
I mean, because if they need
miscellaneous
to
items.
Yeah, for miscellaneous, yeah, you know.
Miscellaneous small purchases items.
Right.
But, and to make sure, like, there's refreshments at every meeting that we have.
Yeah.
Whether it be drinks and coffee or
I attended
donuts.
The procurement training also in the States, and I asked about that during the question and answer portion, and I asked whether FDA funding allows for refreshment, let's say for the board,
okay.
Or if we have any like unveiling of like our buses or whatever. They said yes,
as long as it deals with business.
It is approved by FDA, but we have also to consider the local procurement.
Because Myra, if we had 50% for admin and logistics, we keep that money for whatever we want it to. So we just need to get the board's approval. Period.
Yeah.
We don't have to
so
get FDA's approval. Every month.
Okay.
Accumulate? No.
No, I'm just we said 300 per
okay.
month.
Okay.
End of the year we have a Christmas party. What's that?
So if we exhausted the
no,
300
no, but what I'm saying is if they still need something else outside, they can still be able to write a check and use it, you know, even if it be for $800.
No, but we just said 300.
Oh, no, but that's just for the refreshment part, for meetings. For meetings only. Because you can use the money for, how about all the rest of the money?
Then that's what she's saying about
when
going
it reaches over 300,
yeah.
What you could do
what
is
happened?
Go three times.
Oh,
it's, everything needs.
It's zero base, right? 300. If you don't use 300, the next month is just 300.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't.
That's
take
I said not to exceed 300 a month.
The $85 that you didn't spend last month, now you have 385.
Right.
And 12 months from now, we have enough for the Christmas party.
Exactly.
That's not
the
idea of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we already max the 300 for the month, that's it. Not to exceed.
Yeah, not to exceed.
But when you replenish it right away.
Yeah. So the next one's 300 again.
Still 300.
Okay. Not to exceed 300.
Yeah, not that's why I said not accumulate, right?
Right. No, but then
but if there's a balance of $40 and $320,
we have two meetings within the month, then you're gonna split it.
Then we'll make an exception. we'll bring it up and say because we have two meetings
or work session.
Especially
remember, because we only get stipend once a month.
And I don't think we're gonna spend $300 on a board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
$7.
Of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? None? Okay, motion carries.
Okay.
And now?
I asked KI to make a report last month that they weren't able to do it because there was other pressing matters that they were dealing with. But today, I think it's going to be a 5-minute presentation on the current pursuit of getting a new phone system or a better phone system so people that call in can have better access to the dispatchers and schedulers.
Okay, right. Good day, everyone. I'm Brad Kloppenberg, Vice President, Director of Operations with KEI. And with me today is Becky. She's our scheduler in charge of GRTA and Emmy, our GM in charge of operations at KEI. I have provided Rick last month with. I'm going to talk more than just the phone issue, but I'll be brief. There were six items that were areas that Rick had asked me to possibly address and just update you. First item being there was a concern in regards to confidentiality of clients and riders when it came to communications over the radios. So what we've done is we've kind of reiterated to all our drivers and dispatchers that this is a concern, and so I think they're much more conscious of maintaining that confidentiality when they're communicating with each other because there could be other customers on board that they don't want this information to get out to. Another area was I believe we had an instance where there was a error made in the manifest for pickup for one of our riders. We've addressed that. Again, that's an area we're emphasizing to be a little more attentive to. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, given our state of operations and where we are, you know, we still use the old pen and paper and Excel method. So from time to time, the human element will come into play, and you may have an error or so. But I think with what Rick had mentioned earlier with the transportation management software, I think that's an area moving forward where these instances will become fewer and far between. Another area that was a potential area of concern, which I had addressed with Rick, is someone had mentioned that they wanted to be sure that GRTA is not billed for times when a bus is out of service. And I confirmed with Rick that yeah, we do not bill when a bus is out of service. We have a method of cross-checking with dispatcher reports, driver trip tickets, and so forth, and accounting at you know, when, before every billing cycle, before the billing is sent out, they make sure they cross-check all that so that we're not double billing or billing for when a vehicle is out of service. That's those hours aren't counted against what is charged. Yeah,
we know the total hours for any particular month based on the operating days. So if there's 5 hours of no bus ride, for example, we could subtract 5 hours from that, and we wouldn't know that those hours are not billed against us.
Yeah, good question. I have a question.
Sure.
Because I believe, Myra, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we provide a check for the month, like for July? Do we not provide a check in June for July service?
The payment, you mean?
Yeah, or a PO.
Oh, the PO is issued on the day of the first day of the operation. Let's say for every month, we are on a month-to-month bus operation service. So by first of the month, or on or before, the PO is available.
We're required by GSA to do that to make sure that we have money reserved for the contract. Mm-hmm. Just like when we stuck with $850,000 for the MSB. In order for us to have a contract within the government procurement rules, we have to have money passed to it. That doesn't necessarily mean that they get paid right away, because a lot of times they don't get paid right away.
Yeah, the PO is issued at the beginning of the month, but the money's not paid out until
the service is completed. Okay.
Yes.
All right, just wanted to clear the air.
Yeah, because then it goes to DOA and they look at it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right. Thank
then,
you.
Then they beat up on DOA.
Another item, I just got two more items. I'll sum this up real quick. There was concern about, the concern when it was addressed to me, as I wasn't sure if they were talking about GRTA or if they were talking about KEI, but it was in relation to having a supervisor on duty during all service hours. And you know, I know GRTA has more or less an 8-to-5 operation, but we have dispatchers and schedulers on duty. And the dispatchers on duty throughout all service hours. They're still there when the service is actually done. They're there until all the drivers come back and clock out. And so these dispatchers are direct supervisors, mm-hmm. and they're in charge of all the drivers. They have a say over what they can and cannot do, and they also have direct contact with Emming myself, even the president, you know, 24/7 if need be. So, and we have, the company has full confidence in that they can make decisions on behalf of the company in regards to operations and the drivers that are out there on the road at the time. Last item I have is just addressing some personnel training. You know, my latest analysis shows we have four employees that need to undergo the required 16-hour refresher training.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get that done, but we're running into some roadblocks in that. I guess the law requires that be conducted by UOG or GCC, and at the present time, there's nobody at either of those institutions that can provide the training for us. So we're still working on it, and hopefully we'll have a resolution here sooner.
I think one of the things that was brought up not too long ago was when Director Porter was working for Cedars, that's part of UOG, but she's no longer with Cedars, so Cedars basically don't have an instructor for UOG, and neither does GCC. So what is the relationship between a current sitting director, now also the instructor for a class being offered by one of our contractors? How do the board sit with that? Because in the past, the board was kind of convinced that the requirement will go to Cedars. Cedars will now get an employee to teach the class. But now that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got to look at conflict of interest laws or
so
whatever.
So, Brad,
it is.
Yeah. One question, and this is a question from the beginning of time. Is there actually a contract with University of Guam and GRTA, or how did that work out? Do you guys pay Cedars to do the...
Yeah, we would pay them to conduct the
training.
The training?
But in terms of, I mean, Rick would know better if there's a contract than I would with GRTA, but I don't think so.
No, it's just,
I mean,
so
we've actually asked that question. We don't know.
It's just we're required to have the employees undergo the training, and unfortunately, I guess Cedars is the only one that can provide it, but they don't have anyone.
And the concern, and it's a valid concern, is when we have a sitting board to now say, hey, okay, yeah, you need this training, and the sitting board gets that training and she gets paid for it. So this may be misconstrued as I'm telling you to conduct this training. And by the way, that person is this training, that person is this training. So there's an element where now, well, is this proper? In the past, it went up to the AG, and I was told that it was okay because there was no direct relationship because Cedars was there for University of Guam, but that no longer exists.
Mm-hmm. So currently now, who
it's
does
illegal.
The training?
No one. Yeah, there's no one.
But wasn't there trainings conducted in the past months?
We had the drug awareness training, but for the 16-hour refresher course, there's no one else on island that does that.
I mean, because see, look, this is just a good example. I used to own a computer company for 11 years, okay, thinking that I got some expertise to bring to this table, but to find out, I was told by the legal team at the governor's office that I have to recuse myself in any discussions mm-hmm. or anything regarding that. I mean, I could bring stuff to this table, but I just don't. I mean, I do things like, I just started doing things like converting accessible documents for Gerard that's bored, just to help out. But I'm not getting anything financial gain. But that's just a question I was told by the legal team.
Mm-hmm.
I have to recuse myself, you know, so I'm just... It's been a question that's been tossed around a lot.
And that's part and parcel of trying to get our lawyer again.
Right. Okay, thank you.
One other thing. Could you, because last time we spoke...
The phone. And that's the biggest item we have here, actually. We met with two companies on island that can provide the... the phone system that, that the FTA requires that we have. And we've actually, we met twice with them, each of them, and we've kind of selected the company that we want to go with. The only hesitation we really have at this point in moving forward is you know, we kind of want to find out what's going to happen with the MSB, because moving forward, if it turns out that we aren't the company to do this contract long term, this telephone system is not something that we need. We wouldn't require it otherwise. So I'm hoping we,
it's as mentioned earlier, we have to have a clarification on certain issues line by line, and then after all the clarification have been put to rest, then we're going for the negotiation. Your company is the sole bidder, mm-hmm. and that's all I can say at this point.
If you don't mind, how much a month are they charging you?
A month?
If they put in this
system. If they install the telephone system that are required for this operation.
I don't recall. I gotta look that up. But I know it was just for the startup cost on it was close to $20,000. Yeah.
That's about.
Wow.
That's not our money for it.
Yeah, that's not inclusive of the recurring monthly payment. Or annual.
Yeah. That's just the setup, not your service.
Initial.
Right. So
yeah. I wouldn't want to spend money on that if I wasn't going to get the contract either. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, but just not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one other question. Back to the dispatchers. What time do they come in the morning?
Dispatchers? About 4:30.
Okay, because I think that's the biggest complaint about people who have bus rides at 5:30 is when they call in and there's nobody to really answer the phone. I think that's the biggest complaint I've heard so far. So they do come in at 4:30.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let our writers know.
And the other thing I should add, just on the phones and what we've done in the interim is starting this past April, we added another individual in the dispatch area during peak periods. And then we just recently actually extended those hours. Yeah.
So that's Chad that's there, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
That's him.
Yeah, I just canceled my ride.
You don't have a caller ID? Is that true?
No, we don't have caller ID.
Not on our current system.
Yep.
Why? Everybody, even it's a regular phone when you buy from the store, there's a caller ID.
Yeah. It's just the system.
You're the only one that doesn't have caller ID.
So we have a contract and
the reason for it is
that's what the updated equipment's for.
It helps, like if somebody calls, you can see, right?
Yeah, you can see.
You can see already, and you can write down already the telephone number, the caller, and just in case you don't pick it up because you were on the other line, you can always go back.
Well, there's also a con to that.
Yeah, because right? some people use other people's phones.
Yeah, but let's say the caller that's calling in is a constant complainer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to want to answer the phone. I mean, I wouldn't.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, I mean, go through the proper protocol and make your complaint.
Well, what I did recommend is if, in fact, we come to pass that it's awarded and you guys buy the phone, that there will be different systems for complaints, dial one. For where's my bus, dial two. You don't call where's my bus and then take the dispatcher's time off for the next 30 minutes complaining about what happened 3 months ago, because you need to segregate the issue based on need. Okay, the other part says this phone is being monitored for customer service thing. So if the guy on the other end calling Becky using four little words, now that person is gonna say, hey, they're monitoring my call, I need to temper my words, and not just he says she said kind of situation.
Well, here's another question. What about when the one call one trade, is it going to integrate with the system? Or?
Eventually, because we will have our own training up to do. The one call one click has nothing to do with
the
MSB right now. it could be made part of that later on, because if we're going to wait for the one call, one click to be awarded, and let's say we award the MSB in 30 days, it may not happen till 30 months from now.
That's correct.
Depending if there's a protest. So, although we like to sync everything and connect everything, it doesn't, real life, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Can I get a kind of summary?
Sure.
Later on, and we'll pass it on to the board secretary. So, okay.
See, we should have refreshment now.
All right.
GR- 2 hours, man.
Okay, GRTA lunch hour. Most government agencies have their own policy, whether to break the staff up in half, and some eat from 11 to 12, some eat from 12 to 1. That's nice if you have several hundred people. When I was running the port, there's 340 people. But when we're down to 5, and I'm not answering the phone because I'm out there doing other stuff, and Penny has an appointment, so down, we're down to 3 people. I think for morale purposes is that there is a lunch hour, and the phones should say, because we're trying to improve morale and productivity, we are taking care of our employees, and lunch hour is between 12 and 1. Please conduct your business before 12 and after 1. I mean, that would make sense. So how do we feel about closing down the shop between closing down the shop an hour for lunch? Instead of,
or this is the hours of operation. Yeah, you know,
like
that's in,
12 to 1.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, for me, I don't agree that we should close it down. It's a government agency, and government runs throughout the day. I know we're small, but what happens if a client can only get a bus ride at 12 o'clock to come and conduct business here? The client will be sitting out there then until you guys open back up at 1.
That's going to be few and far between.
No, but there's still the what if, and it is a client.
So the client say, hey,
it's a rider.
They're no longer open between 12 and 1. I'll get a bus after 1 or
2:30.
Get there before 12, because the whole purpose of one of the purpose of the MSB is to close the gap. Okay, now there's 2 hour break in the bus service operation. Does that mean we should be able to take 2 hour break here? We don't.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if a person with a disability has to wait for a family member or a friend to get off work during lunch to come and do the business they need to be done, then they're crap out of luck. This, you guys will be closed.
Well, this is what I was saying, man. Instead of saying 12 to 1 lunch, like my wife's clinic, okay, there's two doctors, but they close from 12 to 1. They just say this is our hours of operation. Yeah, you understand? Instead of promoting that we're having lunch, all you gotta say is we're open from 8 to 12, 1 to 5.
Well, you can look at it first. I mean, from your observation, are we always busy during lunch?
That's another question.
Because even with a lot of different offices, you know, you are entitled to take your lunch break. And so if you want to all go together, that's fine. Close it from 12 to 1. When we stay open at the mayor's office, it's to bring convenience to our people.
Stagger
sometimes that's
out.
The only time that they have to get off to come and pick up a verification. But what I, with here, the services that we provide, is it a demand that they're always coming during lunchtime? Are you guys that busy?
What's the frequency?
Actually, based on our observation and our experience, it's unpredictable, you know, the customers come. There are times that we're having lunch, you know, like three of us having lunch, and then customers will pop in, right? We're in the middle of our lunch. Of course, we cannot say, wait, you know, we're having lunch, we're going to finish our food first.
Yeah.
We don't want the customers to wait.
Right.
We want to attend to them right away. And it's kind of embarrassing. You know, we eat here outside because we know
right now we're open from 8 to 5, no lunch break, right?
Or you're having lunch, and then somebody calls in, and now they piss off at you because you're talking with food in your mouth. I mean, give me a
no.
break.
How about this idea?
Don't answer the phone if you have food in your mouth.
How about this idea? Stagger your hours.
Stagger so your hours. Open
that, that's what
9 hours
saying.
Instead of 8.
That's what I'm saying, Mayor. Yes. I could see when we have a large staff, but we don't.
Yeah. Well, even with us at the mayor's office, we're a very small staff, and I tell them, take turns. You know, as long as someone has, someone covers the phone lines and those who walk in.
Stagger them.
I do, but you guys, I mean, because you're an agency, you're allowed to do this. You're not like us, we're elected by the people.
They could do it if they wanted to. That's the point.
But
you gotta want it to do it.
I'm bringing up operational issues here, not necessarily.
Yeah, so hours of operation.
Not necessarily a policy issue, but as the executive manager, I'm letting the board know that we do have some challenges here.
And then usually, if someone will call and ask, "Are you open for lunch?" and you can say, "Well, I'll wait for you," or "I'll be here," and you can go ahead and still take care of them. But if you want to make it permanent where you're closed from 12 to 1, that's fine also.
Well, considering the current fact now that you can't even get a bus ride, okay?
The
operation, there's dead time.
Stop at 11, yeah.
So, you know, what's the big deal? Yeah. Like, when I go to a meeting, I mean, geez, Becky knows this. We're infamous for this. When we have to go to a meeting and it's during lunch, we have to kill that time to get back on the bus again at 2:30. See, so we got to wait anyway. it's dead time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I could say there's many options here, or until the staff grows, then you can open back up fully. But, you know, advertise the hours of operation.
I think if we are going to implement that, we can educate the people already. Mm-hmm. We're going to put hours of operation outside. That
just effective July 30.
I mean, for the
closed.
Sake of us that are power riders or even transit, I mean, we already got our IDs. What would we be needing to come to the office for to make a complaint? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, during lunch? I mean, for the most part, again, it's not like we got 100 people coming in to buy tickets every day.
No, we don't sell tickets here.
See, that's exactly.
That's another thing.
For morale purposes, like Rick's reaching out to us right now, I say, why not educate the hours of operations? Don't focus it on the lunch. Mm. 8 to 12, yeah. 1 to 5.
Because
you know,
1 hour, a little bit rest,
until he can get fill those other positions and whatever, maybe know what I mean, expand
our,
the point
energy.
I'm getting at here is try to accommodate the passengers, and don't just because 8 hours you're going to put only 8 hours, you could operate 12 hours with the same number of people by staggering your staff.
Okay,
the point is to get this right at all.
So what do we think here?
I'm bringing it up to my bosses, but this is an operational issue.
Okay. And from everything
but basically
that
you're reaching out to us as the board
about being short staffed and the morale and all that, you know, you are entitled and the labor law, you know, after 4 hours, you know, you need to take a break.
That's what I was lunch. Saying. Yeah, you were saying on the frequency of it varies.
So just
but how
make
often
sure
is it do you really
announce well?
What's the website?
Okay. There's something real important for this month because Liberation Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And Director Tadinko has been working with Emming to get a bus service operation on a holiday. This is going to become a pet peeve for mine. Just real quick, Director Tadinko.
Yes, sir.
We, the government of Guam, is how many million dollars deficit? I have no
almost a billion dollars.
I have no confidence that we will be giving more money than last year. So knowing that, people complain if they miss their bus by 1 hour, mm-hmm. but they don't complain if we spend $7,000 on a holiday that we already said it was a holiday. So now we discuss, okay, what can we make exceptions? So we're going to be discussing exceptions here.
Okay.
Okay. because when the board agrees that we are going to have this service for Liberation Day, then I'm going to ask Mara to crunch the numbers and let you guys know the information by tomorrow afternoon, whether we have the numbers to support opening bus service operation, so that we can also have bus service operation into the night so people can go to the fairgrounds.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay, so 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, Director Ben Servino and I had brought it up to the board. I wasn't even on the board yet, but it was passed by the governor to allow individuals with disabilities to be a part of the community, because why should we stay home and, you know, not have that opportunity? So this board has approved July 21st for every year to operate. Okay, now there's two parts here. One is running for the parade. Okay, it was never mentioned about the carnival, but now there's an outcry about the carnival. So, you know, I sat on Oveming and we were trying to figure out a bus route. Prior years, it was Rudy and Mike Garrido who would sit down and figure out this whole thing. Just to let you understand as well, if we do agree to operate for the bus, for the parade operations, you know, we have to, I was also informed that dialysis is open that day, okay? So that's one part. Now, the question when I first sat down with Emming was just for the parade. And the option was, what would the additional cost be to go to operate for the carnival? At the time, we didn't have that information. We couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. So we just got it actually the day before the last board meeting was supposed to happen. And there is a schedule here. So the parade starts at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's going to start from Adelup, right? Heading back north.
Mm-hmm.
So that, we discussed going back to retirement for the fixed route. You know, people want to catch the bus instead of going to Ganyapul because of traffic. That was a recommendation with Mike and Emming when we sat down. And that's the basic thing, was to get the parade going. Now, the additional of the carnival hours is from 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. And there's two fireworks, the 8 p.m. Family fireworks and the 9 p.m. Liberation fireworks. I don't know why there's two. It shouldn't be just... This is from Greg Calvo. I got this straight from Greg Calvo.
He's dreaming.
Anyway, so the bottom line here, when I discussed it with Rick, is that, again, it's about the numbers. If we are going to operate that day, and I guess the numbers that Myra would need to crunch is regular operations from 5:30 to 21.
Since we're going to make an exception for Liberation Day Parade, not everybody goes to Liberation Day Parade. They might want to go to watch a movie in the Ganyan.
It's not about everyone. It was about the disability community in particular.
Yes.
But, you know, and I'm just sharing this, is again, this year we have a big event planned and it's kind of not looking good at this point because we're getting closer to the date, because we didn't have a last board meeting and we were trying to get to see if we can get it approved and advertised. Right. We already got a community event happening at the Bell Tower. Now, whether transportation runs or not, it's going to happen still. I don't know what the turnout's going to be like because time...
Okay. Here's one comment from Director Tedinko. Whatever you offer, and this has been pounded into my head many times, whatever you offer for para, I mean for fix, you have to offer for para.
That's correct, 50%.
So in this case, whatever we offer for para should also be offered for fix, because you could be disabled, but you don't want to go... you might be a person with a disability and you don't want to go to the carnival at 10 o'clock at night, but you want to go to watch the movie.
No, understood, Rick. I never said it was just for power.
No. What I'm saying is, so for the purpose of budgeting, we would factoring what it would cost for Liberation and the Carnival and everybody else.
Correct. So that's the general idea I had in the first place.
Right. So once you give us the number, I'm going to have to crunch the number. We're going to have to identify the money, and by tomorrow afternoon, we will tell the board we have the money or not. If we don't have the money, we may still provide for
the parade,
but not
the carnival.
Not the carnival.
Correct.
So that the goal, Myra, is to find money for both the parade and the carnival.
Okay. This is a special service. Bus
right.
Service.
But remember, we've proved this when it first came on the board.
Every year.
Okay. It was part
I think last
of the.
Year, we did it last
no,
year.
But every year, it's a calendar. It's on the calendar. The 21st.
Okay.
But it was for the parade, not the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
But now, again, like Rick was mentioning, there's a two-part. It's either the parade and the carnival or just the parade.
Okay.
Just the parade. Forget about the carnival.
Like what the boss said, if you can give me at least projected number of hours.
Actually, it was.
It's
did
true.
You?
Yes. Everybody has a copy.
Yeah. It's. Emmy's recommending till 21:30, right, Emmy?
Yeah. Because the I think the fireworks starts at 9 o'clock, so
right.
It should be.
Well, apparently there's two fireworks. I don't know.
Okay.
Family.
For the parade, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Okay.
So here's the deal. We can have an approval pending the numbers from.
Okay. Let me for money.
Can we do that?
Okay.
I know, because we're already saying we're making a shirt for October.
September.
In the event that we found the funding for this, is it acceptable with KEI?
Yeah,
we
also work with that. Yeah.
10 to 2, 6 to 12.
Okay, I'll do my.
Say again?
10 to 2 and 6 to 12.
Well, that's the hours of the parade.
Right.
So again, remember, like Rick said,
prior,
we're still
probably 2 hours prior,
and the parade never just ends at 12.
No,
but we still gotta look at. Remember, this is just this schedule here. I mean, proposed was just a proposal.
Okay. Well, what we're gonna do is get the hours based on this.
But that was just a proposal. But we're talking about. Remember, the dialysis is still open. On the 21st. Like Rick said, it's 50-50. So, you know, we would still have to... The prior years, it was still at 5:30 in the morning when operation started. This was just something Emming recommended to shift the hours up from 5:30 to 7:30.
So it doesn't cost much.
Right. That was just a suggestion. This is all discussion.
Okay.
So if you shift the paratransit to 7:30 in the morning... From 5:30,
but we might have issues with dialysis patients.
Dialysis patients may have a standing
time.
I think on the paratransit there is still set to 5:30 though.
Yeah.
So let's factor in 5:30 for paratransit.
Mm-hmm. Can we not do it like specifically for this purpose Liberation Day parade and carnival purposes?
Yeah.
Let's say you know there's no dialysis. I know there are some people with disabilities that wanted also to watch the parade. So what if we cater the public transit for the people with disabilities to watch the parade? Let's take out the, you know, there's no services for dialysis. Because...
Wait.
What do you think about it? No, it's just...
No.
Like,
here's my retort to that. When it comes to my health, going to a dialysis that I already have a standing schedule, certain day, certain time, and now you're going to give priority to somebody that's just going to go
for recreation
to watch the parade, and here I am with a medical problem. We're gonna have issues with it. So my advice is let's just cover everything and crunch out the numbers and see what we have.
But everybody knows during holidays we don't have operation.
Yeah, no, but they've always been open in the past.
Remember, I just mentioned again, we promoted this. This was been approved on our calendar for 4 or 5 years already.
Yeah.
And you know, this is something that we sat down back and the governor approved this for GRTA to operate.
But specifically for the parade.
For the parade.
In
so
the past.
Well,
yeah.
Right? To the current. So the option here is, again, you know, Rick saying from 5:30 to for just for the parade, and the carnival will be the bonus if there's budget to run. You know what I mean? So is there operation for the parade, and then how much difference do we have the budget for the carnival?
Okay, so two numbers will come up from Myra tomorrow. Here it is for the parade, and here it is for the parade and the carnival. Right. And if we still have the money to cover it, then we have an approval pending that outcome of the money.
Correct.
Okay, you're thinking about starting 5:30 in the morning?
To avoid all these problems, eliminate
because dialysis is still... dialysis is open.
Dialysis comes first before anything else. Close everything, but do not close the dialysis. Those poor people needs to check to clean up their blood.
Okay.
And shorten their
life. Dialysis open
It says the deal. Some people go to dialysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Some go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, right? For example.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot always dictate to the dialysis person to change their schedule. What I'm offering is that we satisfy everybody's needs for this particular Liberation Day. Because if we're going to put 22 pieces of equipment out that are brand new versus 11 that we have now, we're going to be hard-pressed to convince the senators to bump up our budget for next year.
Okay, so we'll await the cost.
The motion would be...
Okay, so the motion would be... to run.
It's already approved.
Yeah, it's already
approved. So what we're going to do is wait
for the
carnival. Cost. We'll wait for the cost of how much it would be for both the parade. One alone for the parade, and then one with the parade and the carnival.
Correct.
Right.
Because the carnival is open it's open every day, you know, so. But the special here is.
The fireworks.
For them to see the parade. This is, you know, an annual event.
So
for the liberation of our island.
So I'm going to present like two tables, like for the parade only,
mm-hmm.
and
one for
one
the, parade,
for
and
the
carnival.
Parade and carnival.
Correct.
Okay. So approval pending. This part, the carnival part. The parade
to see which one to choose because that's already approved.
That's a calendar, yeah. It was approved every calendar year.
Mm-hmm. And we need to get this thing out by tomorrow because we need to start telling our customers.
Yeah. Okay.
You gotta be aware
starting tomorrow.
Okay.
So what did we have to make a motion? Or
no.
No. It's already approved that we have the carnival operation
for
the parade.
Okay.
And you know, I actually in the beginning I was even telling Emming already it doesn't look because we already know we're shortfall on for the carnival. I was saying it might not even look good already.
Okay.
But again, we just have to be accountable to the public that we looked at the options.
Okay.
What time is the parade actually starts?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. So that means we have to start operating to at least 2 hours prior.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, they can come anytime they want, you know, because they're going to cut that. Well, actually,
the roads will be closed.
Near the bell tower, there's two, you know, the two access roads is pretty wide, so mm-hmm. I want to check that out.
So you're saying that for the bell tower, they can come back from O'Brien Drive next to the
trip
line?
Yes.
And the cops would not have any problem with that.
No, but I will attend this coming Monday's meeting.
So you take care of the cops. But we don't want the buses to be there and the cops say, hey, wait a minute, you can't come down here.
Yeah, I mean, because I checked the access road.
Well, we can get a pass
pretty,
for them and make sure you attend that meeting. Because they're going to...
Yeah.
They're going to be hardcore, you know, when it comes to following instructions. And they're only going to do what they were instructed. Do not let anybody through.
Yeah, I couldn't go to yesterday's meeting because
there was
Monday. Okay. Yeah, see.
Yeah. Okay, in other words, for the parade,
the event tomorrow,
okay, it starts at 10 a.m. So what time are we going to dispatch the first bus or buses to Gauden?
5:30.
You have to just keep it at that because travel time.
So from 5:30.
Yeah, because you still got, again, dialysis is open.
You still have to go and pick up people from their house.
Okay.
That's how it was last year. I mean, but.
And up to what time? Okay, parade ends at 12 or 2?
No,
2 o'clock.
I would go with 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 p.m. Yeah. But last year, like for example, when Roy and Lisa got on the bus, it was already like 4:30 because of traffic.
Yeah, so
you have to allot that time.
Let them, you know, like whoever goes, the parade ends at 2 then.
Yeah, and somebody just want
to
go home.
4 o'clock.
Yeah. And somebody with disabilities just want to go home. They don't want to go to the fireworks. So we have to cover all ends. So it's almost like a normal day, basically.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think it's even more hours involved because 9 p.m. Liberation fireworks.
Yes, and we normally quit last pickup at 7:30. So
yeah,
it's almost like a normal day except for 2 more hours.
Right.
Correct.
So the math should be easy.
Yeah, we just got to see if we have enough funding for those extra 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Are we having a record?
Okay.
I got one more question, though. Is there a route for the fixed buses to go through those back roads, O'Brien and whatnot?
Those roads would be open, but
yeah,
traffic.
They're open, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess all the fixed route people have to walk from
Per Point, yeah.
What about Route 4?
Usually, come.
Oh, you want to bring that up?
I was mentioning Route 4 too. You know, there's, it's, okay, they're coming from. You can drive between the Haganya Pool parking lot and Haganya Shopping Center, come into Route 4 and go right. And, you know, they're going to have some, floats there, only a few, but you can probably drop your people there as well.
The floats is in Assen.
It's gonna
I don't know how they're doing it this year.
Assen. It's going to start from Assen up north.
Yeah, you can go that way from Haganya Pool to
yes, and you can
to the library.
They already got that worked out. So let's move forward. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll send out to all of the board members that it's either doable, partly doable, or all of it's doable.
Okay. That's fine.
Same number of buses also, right? 5 and 6.
Yes.
5 and 6.
Okay.
And yeah, the liberation meeting was changed to tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, it's tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, 5:30.
All right. And depending on how the budget comes out this year, we may have to make some hard decisions.
Okay. That is the bottom line, right?
Because
understood.
Because if we have the money, I would like to see that we open Monday to Saturday and all holidays. That's what I would like to say. But if the money's not there, we can't do it.
Okay.
I'll be on leave for. I'm leaving next week. I'll be back August 8th.
So we will still have 4 Zinders to be back.
I'll be off island from this Thursday the 7th to the 14th.
Okay, so
Thursday the 7th.
Yeah,
we'll
still be back.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
It's the time. Obama's waiting for me for some promotions.
Okay.
Don't we have public comments?
Public comments.
Oh, public comments.
Yeah.
Public comments.
For Evelyn, Peter.
Okay, we do have an executive session.
Oh. First, say public comment.
Public comment. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question to Mr. Kloppenberg. You mentioned earlier today that your dispatchers on duty have the capability to make decision making, including hard ones if need be. For the past couple of days already, I find that very troubling. And including on weekends.
You have people in dispatch who have difficulty in making decisions, which is easy to do, but they need to clarify from upper management, which includes you or whoever's on upper, because GRTA is not available. And I've heard that from you numerous times already, but it hasn't worked. All I've gotten is, I don't know, cannot. That against an operation, and I heard it, a different ballgame from GRTA, that they're not, you know, true, they're not open on weekends. There's nobody to monitor the problem. So the only ones that are available out there is the operational side, which is dispatching and whoever's monitoring transportation. So when I ask questions such as, I've addressed a driver issue already numerous times repetitively, and occasionally I would have that driver on my schedule, and I ask very simply to shift that because it's already in my, okay? And I also give alternatives that if it's not able to be done because of short of manpower, then to have someone from your inner office come with that person and monitor that person. Just 2 days ago, I'm in the bus with that driver. We're zigzagging on the road. Vico's behind that bus, honking, because he's encroaching into inner lanes. Between this board and you as the provider, do we see safety as a priority? Because I, for sure, myself, I'm tired being...
No, safety's a priority. But I got to be honest, I don't see everything. I've read all the reports, and I don't see where I need to intervene in changing the driver. I haven't gotten any reports from any other drivers.
Right, I don't see
you
that.
You seem to be
well.
The only one that has an issue with him. So is that a personal preference? Or
no, it's not.
I mean, we've had this guy got doctor's clearance. Everything. He's been with us for 18 years.
It's not a personal preference. I don't have a personal preference with any of the drivers. I don't have any personal preference with any of the drivers. But one, we are supposed to respect one another. Customer service. Yes. Okay? But you also have unreliability on your buses. Safety issues. Okay, just Saturday, your bus, which is 11:08 or 11:05, didn't want to go into gear while en route. I was at the back jerking because the driver was trying to situate the bus into gear. Now, it's not a driver preference. I don't have a driver. But I'm asking to be respected on that bus with how those buses go, because numerous times that doesn't happen.
And I understand your frustration on that particular
things.
Part. I mean, I think you were purposely trying to inconvenience you.
And you haven't.
There happened to be a mechanical problem go wrong, and I know these guys do whatever they can to. You know, make the situation better.
You have been turning a bus on a two-lane ramp, encroaching to both lanes. He U-turns in areas that are not safe. Now, is that a personal preference again? You know what, Brad?
I don't know what area you're referring to, Evelyn.
Telefofo.
Okay, where in Telefofo?
Into people's property, out to the second lane, which Telefofo may have. Two lanes if you're in the village. It doesn't have three or four. And I ask him nicely, why are you turning here? Because there's no way to turn.
safety factor, Brad, is where I look at in that person.
Well, I'd have to, you know, we'd have to do an assessment of the area, and it could be that maybe that bus shouldn't be in there to begin with. Maybe it shouldn't be going in there to.
It's not the bus, Brad, it's the driver. And, you know, these are the things that I've been addressing, and most of you, including the board, just probably think that I'm bringing this as an excuse. No. I've been on this service for ages. Mm-hmm. Decades. And I don't have problems with no other drivers. Or do you not like me to give accurate responses regarding your drivers? What they do wrong out there?
No, like I said, we welcome the feedback, Evelyn, but in terms of this particular driver, I don't see where there's a need for me to...
Right, it's not you, but your people says you need to do it. Upper management needs to do it.
Well, okay.
I don't know why, but you ask them, because if I was in their shoes, I know you're not there. I'm on the floor, I'll do it. I'll move it. I'll fix it. But they say, I cannot. Whatever's here has to stay here. We cannot make the changes.
The only reason why sometimes the change cannot make be because, like, for example, if you have a 9:30 pickup, sometimes the other buses don't have that. So, you know what I'm saying? Having to change a driver on the last minute,
it's not last minute. Mm-hmm. I fear myself in that bus with that person. I fear myself, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I've seen him do improper things. You guys don't see that. I don't fear myself with the other drivers. Drive. I don't care. We're going there. But this particular person, I've seen him doze off. I've seen him almost going to the jungle. I've seen him almost hitting a bus stop. You guys are not there to see it. Nobody's there but me to see it.
Okay, Evelyn, when was the latest incident?
2 days ago. We're in a Gania. Traffic heavy. The bus is being honked by cars in the back because we're like this on the road. I even called your dispatch and say, can you radio your driver and ask if he's okay because the cars behind are, they're going left, they're going right because the bus is not steady.
Question?
Then it has a problem.
Evelyn, are you the only one victimized with this?
Victimized?
Yeah.
No, I'm not the only one victimized.
And how come you're the only one complaining?
I don't know. I cannot answer that, man. That's your second time asking me that. I cannot speak.
Second time? I only asked this time. I want that.
Okay, well, 2 days ago, who was in the bus with you?
Who was in the bus with me?
Yeah, do you know who any of the other riders?
CHP clients. They can answer to that.
CHP?
Yeah.
They don't know.
They cannot speak to those things.
Cognitive disabilities. Okay. You know what? I mean, for the sake here, who's the driver? Because Gerard and I are riders. I mean, I'll be honest. Since I rode transit, I have not had a problem. I mean, I get on the bus.
Well,
I shut my mouth. I go to point A to B, and it's a shared ride system.
Unfortunately.
I'm just... Okay, I mean...
Can
I ask a question? Or can I make a request? So can you provide the board with this certifications that you guys are getting that this driver has already been...
I think we've already...
Yeah, they have already.
They have?
They have.
Yeah. Is that the same thing we discussed like 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had to switch a driver, switch a bus, or anything. I'm confused, you know. But, again, it's not happening to me. I mean, the most is like... hot on the bus, and I understand that the equipment's broken, the equipment's used, it's worn out. We all are going to keep complaining about the same thing, but being a board member on both sides, you know, we got to look at it, what's the reality?
We know these buses are warned. We know we're trying to get everything MSB awarded. But we keep complaining about things that are broken, okay? But this particular situation, if they provided us, I don't know what to tell you, Evelyn. I mean, do we need to assign someone to ride with you to see exactly what you're saying?
That's
or?
My point. If nobody don't hear me verbally, then assign it that way. So you guys can see it for yourself. Do you have a driver doing this number while driving?
How do you know it's him? Or what if it's the bus that's the lineman and
are
it's
you
all
telling
rocking?
Me now? I don't know who I'm
I'm not sure.
Let me answer one thing that Mr. Innes brought up. Is when a bus goes down a two-lane road, where is the bus going to turn? So if the bus cannot go down a two-lane turn and turn around to go back the opposite way so it can service other customers, then perhaps the bus shouldn't go down there.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two is, so we made a conscious decision to buy smaller vans so mm-hmm. that I don't get calls and say, Mr. Augustine, one of the buses ran into my favorite petunia and I grew it myself 20 years ago because it's picking up a customer across the street. So we make the equipment smaller. So I think we could accommodate that part, just providing some smaller vehicle for mm-hmm. paratransit. But if in fact the equipment cannot go down a certain way to be safe, then we shouldn't have the bus going down. The other option is for the passenger to come out to meet the bus where it's safe. But like I said, we made a decision to buy smaller vehicle.
Correct.
So when those smaller vehicles come in, then hopefully we don't have the issue about
make her happy for
taking. Making a turn in a two-lane, because that's all. We cannot grow the road, make it bigger. If one driver cannot make a turn on a two-lane road, how can the other driver make a turn on a two-lane road? The road's not going to get any bigger.
It's not. You know, I have a Sienna van, okay? And it's the same thing. You know, I complain to my wife when we're driving down Dead Man's Curve, why are you encroaching to the other lane? The van's 8 feet wide. The lane's... Mm-hmm. What more the buses? So, you know, again, being a rider and being on the board, you know, we have to... I was not like this before. I was just always about, I want to get to point A to B. But, you know, I never had that rough service.
We are going to...
I don't know who the driver is.
Oh, my God. This guy is the best. He's so friendly.
Who's the driver?
That's what she's complaining.
I don't know. I mean...
Mark was...
Okay, so
I can't.
For the record,
in the bus
we would put
he picks me up every day after work.
We would put vans in some of the smaller areas. That's the whole reason why we went and bought smaller equipment.
Correct. We had vans before, but they took them down because they were old, you know, and they work fine. And we understand that's why you do assessments in areas where when you apply for a para ID, that's the whole point.
And also, may I add also if. One of the drivers driving recklessly or something, majority of the time we receive a phone call right away from local motorists mm-hmm. saying this driver, because the platform of the company's name,
how's
phone
my
number,
driving?
Number,
phone number, right
exactly.
There.
Mm-hmm. The phone right away, and this guy is right here driving recklessly. But we never received a call.
You know, it was not.
Maybe, Brad, here's
no proof
thing.
About this.
Have a meeting with your driver and invite us to it, because I'm going to tell you.
Telling it twice.
Our ears get banged all the time as board members coming on the
don't
bus
entertain
about
something
other issues. Mm-hmm. And you know, give them an opportunity to voice out their concerns. And you know, Rick brought this up before. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to have a driver's meeting to understand.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I mean, that guy, he picks us up all the time. It's fine.
He takes me home every day after work, so
yeah.
I have him on a daily basis.
That's long distance telephone. Mm-hmm.
According to Eming, they ordered for medical evaluation for this driver, like his sleeping disorder.
Sleep apnea.
And he was cleared. He was cleared by the doctor.
Yeah, he was out of work.
And
out of work for a month and a half, I think.
Because of that.
Because of that. Because we don't know what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I'm not saying her complaints are not valid, but again.
I mean, she's the only one complaining. It's kind of hard
to believe.
There's
no proof what she's saying.
Do we need to start putting cameras on the buses? I don't know.
Give me the money.
Take our picture.
No, but you guys can see it too on your
on your GPS.
Yeah,
GPS.
Like avoiding. Can you see that?
Now I'll even share another. Let me share something, okay? I'll even tell you. There's one other rider, I won't say his name, but, you know, he's in a mobility device too. He complains to the driver when we're all on the bus that, watch the bumps because my ass is hurting. But what can he do? What is he going to do? Make
bumps
the bus float?
Not smooth.
I don't understand. I don't know. Should we put the bus in the water and make it run? And I'm being sarcastic right now because I'm frustrated, you know, but really, we're working in a new direction, trying to get new assets. You know, we got to deal. We've been educating. My organization has been educating riders to understand the current situation. One of the, like Felix would say, you want to eat filet mignon, but you got a McDonald's budget. You know, we got to work with what's there. I mean, what are we going to do? Just shut down operations?
Over time, we would improve on our operation.
And that's what we promote. Yeah, we educate.
That's where we at for now.
You know, I'm sorry that, you know,
nice one, Paul.
We go to meetings and stuff like this, I get tired.
I feel that when you're given an opportunity, and this is coming from me officially, given an opportunity to speak, and then you just excuse yourself, that's unprofessional.
Well, it's not holding water. I'm not even sorry. Really, I'm serious.
Okay, well, you addressed it. I mean, he's saying that he went through his evaluation. You guys have given testimony that you
drove
with him, and he's the best. So,
all right.
I just got one more thing to say.
Yes,
Brad.
Brad.
Yeah. Brad. Yeah. You brought it up already. I don't know. Maybe you guys want to do an assessment of her place. And if the bus cannot go to her area, I guess she won't be eligible to ride the bus again.
Okay.
I mean, because if she's going to complain about the bus having to U-turn and turn into people's yards, then, I mean, there's nothing you guys can do about that if the bus won't fit on the road.
And then people, I mean, we've gotten, not just with GRTA, but with seniors, mm-hmm. where surrounding neighbors get upset about the buses having to turn around in their property, but they get in there and there's no other way, you know, unless you
turn the bus
back out the way you come in.
Our driver is held responsible, and they have to go and fix the yard.
You know what joke we did today, right? We make her happy because we entertain her.
Okay.
We should not entertain her.
So.
Okay.
Good, executive session.
Motion to adjourn.
We are now going into recess. It is.
Yeah, yes. Put your writer down, please.
Yes. Recess. 6:50 p.m.
For the executive session.
We are now going into recess for executive session. Okay.
Right.
Executive
session. What's going on?
Executive session. 6:50.
6:50. Second recess. Okay. Got it. For executive. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
You got all that right? Bring it back to the senator's office.
Are you going
to
be with him tomorrow morning at the council?
Yes.